Father, we thank you, Lord, for songs that are written, no doubt, by someone who had been born into the family of God. And somehow or another, an impression came to the heart and turned to write about their experience. And because they experienced the new birth, they can write in a way that's an honor to you and a blessing and glorifies the Savior and bless our hearts together. Thank you for the good singing congregation here this morning. During the Sunday school hour and all the classes, the Lord we've been talking about, as Brother Reese prayed, about our Savior. Every class is talking about our job this side of eternity. Occupying until Jesus comes means that we're to be busy telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. Lord, forgive us where we've failed and help us to have the energy and the unction and all that's needed to do more until you call us home. The only thing that'll matter when we stand before you won't be how successful we are, financial and otherwise, that'll go back to the dust or somebody else. It's what we laid up in heaven beforehand of being obedient to you and our giving for the cause of Christ, of our lives, our finances, your tithes, our offerings, and dear Lord, especially trying to win someone to Jesus. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Now, everybody knows the theme this month, God's plan for our lives. And you've heard all the Sunday school teachers tell each Sunday. We talked about God's plan for our life for worship. We talked about God's plan. There's a lot of subjects we could put under this title. But we looked at some that we thought to be an overall part of getting us closer to God. And God's plan for our worship, God's plan for our commitment, God's plan for our giving. And today we're talking about God's plan for witnessing. And I want to turn to Romans chapter 1 and look at something I hope will be a blessing to you this morning. Here, this particular time. If you look with me in chapter 1, I want to read verses down about 13 through 16. In 13, watch the first word, now. Now. Sit with me. Now. Now is not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. It's the present tense right now. It's interesting Paul would write this because this now covers the rest of what he's going to say to the end of this chapter, I believe. Even though he puts it this way to start with, he said, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you, that are at Rome also. Now, isn't it interesting? He's ready. Hadn't he been preaching? Yeah, he'd been preaching 26 years. And now he says, I'm ready to preach. You know, it's interesting. I understand that more now, 50 years later, after I've saved and been preaching the gospel than I did when I first started. And I think you understand that if you serve the Lord. If you've been involved with the things of God, the more you do that later, you'll find out how important it was to be doing all along because you're more ready to do it then than you were when you started. And if you didn't keep it up as you started, you're not as ready to do it when you get older. Now unravel that, amen? But it's true. Notice what he said in verse 16, though. After he said this, he's ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why is he not ashamed of it? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For therein what? In Christ, which is the gospel, therein the gospel, which is of Christ, either way, therein, in this gospel which centered in Jesus Christ, watch this, the righteousness of God is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Isn't that interesting? This gospel, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it set forth to faith, to faith, to faith, to faith. And again, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, everybody knows what the gospel means today. Most even saved talk about the gospel. They hear enough on the radio and the news and religion. They look at the gospel. They say, well, that's good news. We know that the gospel has already been mentioned, adult class and others this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, that it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scripture. We also know, if you look in verses 12 through 45 in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about how is it that everything centered around Christ. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then we're wasting our time. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if he's not risen from the dead, we ought not be here today. We want to be where the rest of the world's at. I mean, if he didn't rise from the dead, we have no hope. That's what Paul tells in 1 Corinthians 15. But if he did rise from the grave, and he did, we have a great hope. Amen? We have a wonderful hope. And that's in Jesus. Not a hope so thing like the world thinks of it. Our hope is a reality because it's real. But here's the thing. One cannot understand the good news of the New Testament unless they understand the bad news in the Old Testament. And I say that when you go back to the book of Genesis. You see, the payment of sin, a man's sin, is due to the fall of man in Genesis. Sometimes you hear people say, especially going out witnessing, well, I'm just a New Testament Christian myself. And I say, oh, is that right? Yeah, I believe in the New Testament. I don't have much to do with the Old Testament. Well, then what basis do you determine the rebellion of sin? Why do you know you need Jesus Christ? If you just go to the, he said, well, all sin. But what is the basis of that sin? I mean, that's one of the things that, hey, to be able to get a reason why you believe what you believe and give an answer why you're saved, you need to understand that this world has to have reasons why things are like they are before they can understand why they need to do what they need to do. And so the Old Testament shows us the basis of why we need Jesus Christ. It shows us the basis of why that we need to be born again. One must believe in the fall of man to see the need of redemption. Now, in the New Testament, we have the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. In Genesis, we have the bad news, seeing the origin of sin and the penalty of death. It's good news in creation that God created us, and there's much in good news from there in the Old Testament, how God planned down through the ages to bring the Messiah so that we could have a Savior, so that we'd be born into the family of God. But ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to tell a person why they need to get saved. You can't tell them why. You say, well, you need to get saved because I got saved. That won't cut it. You have to go back and say you need to get saved because the one who says you must be born again also says that you in Adam are a sinner and you need Christ as your personal Savior. In Colossians chapter 1, and Paul said this to the church at Colossae. In chapter 1, you read down a few verses about 13 through 17. He said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Why do we need that? Because of Genesis, we find in the first three chapters, God created man, and man fell, and man sinned. And due to sin, there's a penalty, there's a curse. And because of that, we have to be removed out of the curse to live with him forever. He said in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning. Now, do you know who this is talking about? Jesus Christ. It's showing he's creator. And he goes on and he says, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Thank you so much. Amen. My tongue. I like to fell off a stoop last Thursday night and kind of lost my mind and my equilibrium. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Isn't it wonderful to have a group of people and help the preacher when he can't help himself? By the way, I don't mind that at all. You said it insults me. It don't me. It helps me. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. What I want you to see is this. Our Creator became our Redeemer. He's involved in it from the very beginning. The book of Genesis gives us the foundational knowledge that is needed to understand the gospel message that comes in the New Testament. It gives us the answer as to why we need Jesus Christ. This world doesn't understand that they need Jesus Christ. They think anybody else can do the same thing that Jesus did for us. Anybody else can do the same things as they said that different ones have done for others. So I want to take the message out of here of verse 16, where it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I want to talk about the power of God. the power of God. What is the power of God? Now, some people say it's the gospel, and we say it's the gospel. But their determination of what the gospel is different than ours. There are some people this morning, right today, is preaching somewhere in these United States of America that the gospel is, someone would say that is the gospel is given to let you know you got good news to be healed. The gospel is given to let you know that you have good news that God wants to make you rich, because he in Deuteronomy, he tells us he gives us wealth. There's others who tell you that this good news, God wants you to know this good news is that he wants to make you successful. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, God showed us the difference between things and serving him. And I do not believe that God Almighty would give us things if he knew those things were going to take us from God. Why would he give us something that's temporary when he's an eternal God? So we have to be careful, because if you're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, Satan will give you things if you're saved and you think that God has done it, and God wouldn't give you those particular things right then because he knew they'd take you from God. So I have to look at this thing a different way than the world looks at it. I have to look at it a different way, because I have determined in my heart, and I hope you have, and if not, you need to, because the only thing's going to count what you do for God when you get to heaven, and you're going to be a lot longer over there and you're going to be here. And I want you to know that God has not left us ignorant, concerned about how to be saved, and once we get saved, how our life should be, this book. But you know, the problem is this book has not been taught much today, even how to get saved. It's telling everybody else how to be successful, but it's not telling us the main reason why the gospel is given. How is this gospel of Christ the power of God? In Romans chapter 1, it's 26 years after Acts chapter 9 when the apostle Paul came to know Christ on the road of Damascus. When Paul was called by God, I want you to notice it took some time. Now, don't misunderstand. Listen to what I'm saying. It took some time for Paul to be ready to preach the gospel, even though he was willing. Sometimes it is. From Acts 9, Paul was willing to preach the gospel once he got through those next few days. But if you look with me over, I want to first of all look at 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." In other words, there's more to this thing than just being saved. And he said, you've got to be ready to give an answer. You say, well, I'm ready. But can you give an answer clear to different ones that come a different way? If you try to tell them how you got saved, that don't mean much unless they see they need to be saved. There's more to the ballpark of bringing somebody in the saving knowledge of Christ when you and I use the power of God's available through the Holy Spirit, through his precious word. We have to use some words sometime. You have to go back maybe to somebody and tell them why we're under sin. You may have to take the word of God the Holy Spirit wrote to begin with in your heart now and go back and show the basis why there's a curse on this world and why they're headed to a place called hell and why God created this place called hell for the devil and his angels and others to go there if they don't know Christ as their personal Savior. And so he said, but sanctify the Lord in your heart. Set him apart in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Did you know it took Paul some time, though he was willing, to get ready to preach the gospel of Christ? Look with me in Galatians and see what Paul had to say when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He says here in Rome, now I'm ready. Isn't that interesting? Has he not always been ready? I bet he'd preach at the drop of a hat. Well, there's times Paul said he didn't have everything he needed. He had the Holy Spirit. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there are some experiences you may have to go through before you get ready to meet some people. And God uses all these things. No wonder Romans 8:28 is in the Word of God. All things work together for them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Because everything a child of God goes through is leading to the point that God is making us better witnesses for Him along the life path. Look what Paul said in verse 11 of chapter 1. He said, I certified you, brother. I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached on me is not a matter of man. He said, I'm in Galatians chapter 1 now, for neither I received a man, neither was I taught a man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you ever heard of my conversation in the times past of the Jews' religion, that beyond measure I persecuted the church and of God and wasted it and profited the Jews' religion above many of my equal in my own nation. He, in other words, he was making a killing, killing Christians. The Sanhedrin court, which no doubt he was a part of, no doubt was sending him out places and giving him everything he needed for the incentive to destroy Christians. The Sanhedrin court hated those who would be followers of Jesus Christ. And then he says this, he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, notice, it said from his mother's womb he was separated, he called me by his grace, though, he said, again, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I confer not with the flesh and blood. Neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, and I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, watch this now. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other apostles I saw none, save the James, the brother, the Lord's brother. Now, it's interesting, as I look at this, that Paul, it took some time for God to get Paul ready to preach the gospel anywhere. He witnessed it where he went. But there's some things that Paul had to experience that he could be a help to others who were experiencing those things. And that's what he said now. I'm ready after 26 years now to preach the gospel to anyone, to the barbarians, to whatever. I'm a debtor to people now. For being in church, hear me, for being in church all your life or attending a Bible college, even gaining a theological degree, is no assurance that one is ready to preach. You may be willing. You may be capable. And you might give some sermons. But Paul said there's going to be some times you're going to have to preach when you know someone's going to criticize you like no one in there. Someone's going to walk grit and dirt teeth. There's going to be some people that through the vine will try to destroy you, and yet you still keep on preaching. Now watch it. And this is what Paul's talking about here. I mean, you do not get ready to preach overnight. You can give a sermonette, you can give a sermon, but you won't have, there's going to be some things that got to put you through so he'll prove to you you're ready to preach no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what they overcome, no matter what comes back weeks later. No matter what may put you in. You may be in jail, it may be not in jail, it could be, you never can tell. In Romans chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, now. And I look at this after he goes through about the gospel. Now, after my training at Gamaliel's feet. Now, after temporary blindness on the road to Damascus. Now, after having my name changed from Saul to Paul. Now, after I have been given the thorn of the flesh. Now, after Satan had buffeted me many times. Now, after having been jailed and holding a prayer meeting in with Silas and down in Philippi. And God brought an earthquake. Now, after my ups and downs and my trials and my tribulation, my poverty and my plenty, my feasting, my family. Now, I'm ready to preach the gospel. You can't bring anything towards me, Paul says. I hadn't already experienced, and I'm still ready to preach the gospel. Amen. That's what he said in the wrong. Some of you stopped because you got one little bit of criticism. You say, I'm not a preacher, but we're all witnesses. And you have to understand, things come to us at times so God can stiffen us, not in heart and mind, but in flesh. Our heart and mind should always be soft and loving and not arrogant at all. You see, when a man is willing, God will make him ready. Amen. When a man is willing, God will make him ready. When a man is not willing and God is touching his heart, he'll make him willing like he did Jonah. And once he gets you willing, he'll make you ready. Amen. Look at Jonah. Jonah went the other way. God had to make him willing first. Because, if he wasn't willing, God didn't make him ready. Look what he did when God made him willing and he made him ready. And then he saw what God did in forgiveness and he had a pity party. Got under a Jupiter tree and said, I knew God's going to do that. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's still saving people? Every time I see someone get saved, I knew God's going to do that. I didn't know it'd be him, but I knew it'd be somebody. And it's just good to be him or her as anybody else. Because God has promised until he takes us home, he's going to be in the soul-saving business. 3 points quick on the power of God. First of all, there is a difference between being willing and being ready to preach or even to witness. Now, I'm painful aware that a preacher is not always ready to preach. After 50 years, I've been called on to preach sometimes. I were not. I have tried to be ready at times and not be ready. You don't understand that. Unless you've had that, Brother Keith, you do, don't you, Brother? Now, you get sometimes, and you preach a lot, 3 or 4 times a week sometimes, and you're fine. You think you're ready sometimes. You think God give you a message, and you had a message that was a flop, and nobody enjoyed it. You had a message that I don't enjoy, and nobody enjoyed. And you find yourself caught in that trap. God uses experiences in the ministry to get a preacher ready to preach, no matter what the outcome. Paul said, I'm ready to evangelos. That is the Greek word for evangelize. I'm ready. Why, Paul? Because I've worked. We won. You can't do nothing to me. Put me in jail. We won. Take my head off. We won. The world said, won? Are you crazy? How have you won? We won. God has given me victory in everything that He's allowed to happen to me. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul is saying we've won because of the power of God in the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. That's good news to send to one sitting in prison for the gospel. That's good news to send to the Christian who is hiding in a cave in the catacombs in the first century, facing doom and defeat. That's good news coming from a limping Jewish preacher on his way to Nero's chopping block, who writes, why, before his head is cut from his body, we have won. How can you explain that type of victory to a lost world? They can't see it without the power of God. They can't see it without the power of God. What wonderful words from a nearly blind, shivering, lonely, forsaken, worn out, born out, burnt out, stretched out, preacher of the gospel, Jesus Christ, waiting for his head to be chopped off on the chopping block, when he can say, don't fret, Christian, we have won. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. He's the answer. We have won. What a wonderful spiritual food for those who would soon make their way. And you think about the early church into the Roman Colosseums to become food for animals. And thousands of Christians died in the Roman Colosseum for food for animals. What crime had they done? Not one thing, but deny to believe in the gods of Rome and exalted Jesus Christ as one raised from the dead. Paul had seen churches divided over doctrine. He's seen churches fractured by jealousy and envy and pettiness and strife. He's seen Satan infiltrate the churches with preachers that in turn were imposters, rocked with all kinds of sexual scandal of incest. And yet in all of this, he could still declare to the children of God, with this havoc coming to them for preaching the gospel and witnessing, he could still declare, we have won. The world can't understand that. What a joy to be able to declare to the dejected, deserted, deceived, deflated, defiled, degraded, demoralized, defeated in this world, by this world of the Christian. It looks like at times in the eyes of this world, when Paul can say, I don't care how down you are, deserted you feel, how deflated, defiled, degraded, and demoralized, and defeated you are by this old world, we have won. Why? Go back to Calvary and see the one they killed. They couldn't have killed him now, we know, because he gave his own life. He died and was buried, but he rose again. Amen. Boy, you Christians are fickle. Hey, call me anything you want to. I've experienced enough now to know if it wasn't real when I got saved, it's real now, brother. The Holy Spirit's convinced my heart. As a matter of fact, it's still by faith. But I believe it's just been real so much now, much more that faith, my faith started it, but my faith is. By the way, he said this, he said that it shall receive from faith to faith to faith. We learn. We get saved, we learn, and God lets us grow, and then we move from faith to faith. I move from faith to being saved to faith to serve. I move from faith to serve to faith to give. Move from faith to give to faith to serve in certain capacity. Run from faith to a call. It's faith to faith to faith to. It's not been faith till I got something, or it may interfere with what I'm doing now in this world. It's faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. Hey, do that and you get laughed at. That's all right. We won. We won. Someone said not too long ago, preacher, evidently God gave you a gift. And I said, well, I thank God. Don't he give us all gifts? You got gifts. Give you a gift. I realized God trained me in some ways in finance and other things years ago that helped me to do good in the business world. And someone said, well, you know, how you've done in the religious world, if you'd stayed in the business world, you'd be a pretty wealthy man. No, I'd probably be dead. God probably killed me, brother. So I don't believe that. Well, believe what you want to believe. I'm just telling you, nothing in this world is worth anything unless God's in the center. Amen. And I'd rather be where I'm at and lose everything I've got than not be where I'm at and gain everything the world has. See what I'm saying, folks? I'm telling you why. We've won. I got a letter this couple weeks ago from a pastor who's been serving a number of years. Church in. I've been so blessed. Some men have such hard times. That's church, and you know, many things happened. He had to leave the church, and then he got sick and ended up with a big hospital bill, no one to help, turn to, and so forth. I'd love to know how many times that has happened. Most people won't do nothing for God, got a good job, got the insurance, everything else, no talent. Then God calls someone out in his family to serve God, and then all of a sudden he gets real sick, and God takes him home. Don't look like in the world he's done much, but he's already won. His family has won. We won, folks. It's not because we have that ability. It's because God will use what we give him and make something out of it. You already know this morning I had a word. I pronounced that word 50 times. Couldn't pronounce it this morning. You had to help me. I don't mind that at all. You say, well, I do. Help me more. I'm getting old. I forget names. Sometimes I look out here and see a person can't remember your name. So help me. I've known you. I know. Who, is anybody else like that? Well, praise God. I'm kind of like people thinking they were the only one that was saved years ago, and God said, you know, look around. Remember that in the Old Testament? Saw all those people up, God's angels around the hillside and so forth. We won. What a joy to understand that. There's a difference between being willing and ready to preach. Number two, quickly, I got to hurry. There is power in the gospel message. Year after year after year, for 2,000 years, preachers have been preaching the same message about Jesus Christ, the same crucifixion, the same resurrection, and now 2,000 years later, we're sitting here this morning listening to the same message. Must be some power behind that. You didn't come here this morning because you're going to see a movie. You didn't come here this morning because we had some, quote, star. You didn't come here this morning because we had some group that's going to be here today that we just love to hear. You come this morning because you want to meet with God. And folks, God, please help us. Sunday school class teachers and me, myself as pastor, God help us when you come. You'll hear from this book. Because that's the only way you meet from God. You can't meet with him without this book. Because he honors himself through the Word of God. This is why people keep coming back Sunday after Sunday to hear it over and over again. What is this power? Why is this power? How is this power manifested? This power is preaching this gospel. It's because the gospel has the ability to tell us where we are. Who we are. It has the ability to tell us where we're going. The gospel helps us to identify with the blind man. We say, now I was blind, I can see. The gospel helps us identify with a man that can't hear. Now I can hear from God through his word. This is why people keep coming back Sunday after Sunday. There are some things that you cannot see without this book. There are some things you cannot hear without the Holy Spirit using this book or someone to proclaim it. Neither can I. The gospel helps us identify. Like the prodigal son, we have a righteous, unproductive, unredempted living and have nothing for eternity. But with the gospel, we have what money can't buy. We've been redeemed. The gospel will help you to know where you are at, who you are, and where you can go. It will help you appreciate being found when you recognize that you're lost. It'll help you to be able to thank God that you can see now things you could not see when you were lost. It's wonderful now to know that instead of going last night and getting drunk at the bar somewhere or another, we come to the house of God on Sunday to worship God. So last night we just enjoy the family in our life and know we're coming to church this morning and nothing would keep us from doing that. Amen. You hung out at the bar last night after midnight by half drunk, you're home sleeping it off. But thank God we are in the house of God. Why? We won. Amen. They'll say, hey, you didn't have no fun. Don't tell me. Man, don't tell me I'm not having fun. Some people think I have too much fun. I get criticized for too much. When I say fun, I mean in the right way. I love coming to the house of God. I love to laugh. I love to hear people say amen. It wouldn't hurt me one bit if you shouted. Amen. The gospel of Christ has the power to create complete people in a broken world. Not only is the difference between being willing to preach and ready to preach, do we know that difference? We do, because experience will give us that. Experience will give us that. It is amazing how that God will give you ability to read things, and messages will come to fit that situation when most people think they never need it. The third thing is, the gospel is designed to mend broken hearts. And I quickly close on this one. The gospel is designed to take ruined lives and restore them in Christ to the purpose that God had for them by His Holy Spirit. This may not be success in men's eyes, but success in God's eyes. And that's what's going to count. I'll never stand before God one day, and He'll say, now let's see, and it's how successful you're in men's eyes. That's not even going to come into account. But He is going to say, here's how successful you were in my eyes. And everything, plus or minus, whatever it is, his books, he has ways of keeping records. The gospel helps create the whole person in a broken world. It has the redemptive power and ability to make people complete and whole. What a joy. Think with me a minute, folks. What a joy to read of a story of two men hanging beside a Christ, one on the right, one on the left. They're all doomed to die. The sentence has been given. It's a matter of time when they die. Man is saying that these people need death. What a joy it is to know that the dying thief on the cross, when nothing else would help him, man nor nothing else could help him, he could turn to Jesus Christ and hear him say, today thou shalt be in paradise. What a joy. Nothing could help that thief. He's doomed. He's damned. There is nothing at all could help him but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he turned. When he turned to Christ and said, remember me. I'm glad God sees a heart that means it. Remember me. Help me, Lord. I have no hope without you. By the way, that's the way we are. We have no hope without him whatsoever. The gospel is God's answer to man's sin. No one is too lost that can't be found. No one is too low that can't be lifted up. No one's too far out that can't be brought in. No one's too dirty that can't be washed clean. No one, ladies and gentlemen, is too hungry that he cannot be filled. No one's too thirsty that he cannot receive his thirst satisfied. No one is too soiled that he cannot be saved. No one is too repulsive that he cannot be redeemed. No one is too endangered that he cannot be rescued. No one has a reputation so bad that God can't change it. That's what this power is. God deals with people's bad reputation. The gospel of God answers the statement of bad reputation. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want you to notice this word, this verse now. He said, watch, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power. He didn't say it was a power. He said, this gospel is not just a power. It's the power. It can do what I've sent it to do. It will do. The only difference that keeps you from working is faith. Faith in the one who is the substance, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, how I seek the power to preach in these last days. What those preachers started in that first century. Why, Brother Ennis? Because of what he has done for me. There's victory in Jesus. Thank God for that. He reached down. He lifted us up. And you think about that song. When my Savior reached down for me, he reached way down for me. Why? Because I was lost and undone without God. Oh, his son, when he reached down, he saved me on a church pew. I'm talking about the power of God that most people know nothing about. The power of God that causes us to do those things that the world says, you ought to be doing that. You're never going to make it if you do that. I'm talking about the power of God, which he tells us here. Notice, he says the power of God. Watch these words. It's not unto get rich. It's not unto stripes your heel. It's not unto those things. It's unto salvation. To everyone that believes. How in the world can this world grab it and turn it around to build a kingdom for themselves? But they will. This power is to bring salvation to souls. It's the power unto salvation. And he goes on to everyone that believeth. He said to the Jew first, is offer them to the Greeks. For therein, in this gospel, which is Jesus Christ, we have the righteousness of God. That's what we won. The righteousness of God. The standard in heaven is God's righteousness. In this life, we can't get it. But in heaven, God has established that in his Son. We have his Son. We have his Holy Spirit. We have been establishing his righteousness. That opens the door for us to be with him. Notice he said, well, I'm here, though. From faith to faith is written, the just shall live by faith. I thank God for that. Oh, I seek to preach this. Like he said something this morning. That's really true. The Holy Spirit of God, and I wrote it down. The Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and using the vessel of God, present the gospel of God to the unsaved. Well, that's the way it works. We won. We want the rest of the world to know. It takes the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us. I wouldn't dare witness another person if I didn't have the Holy Spirit of God living in me. It's too dangerous. I'd like to kill my wife Thursday night. Not intentionally. We walked up to the house, knocked on the door, and stooped in and had no rails on it. Now, I know I fell 4 or 5 times. 3 or 4 times. 2 or 3 times. It gets bigger like a fish, I reckon. But I fell a number of times. And the thing about it is, we walked over this step and had no rails around it. And we knocked on the door. I didn't hear it, so I must be losing my hearing in this ear. Somebody came to the door where the fence was at and said, hello. And she said, did you hear him say hello? And I turned. And I know better. Well, this is Rafi. I turned. And when I turned around, like fell off the stoop, and I grabbed hold. She's the great helpmeet. I grabbed hold of her. We like went off together. Because she was there, she kept me from falling off that stoop. Amen. Walked over there, and a guy had a dog big as this pulpit. Need to say we didn't go in. We didn't go in. But what I'm saying is, there's so much you want to do, and sometimes you can't do it. You know what really bothers me, folks? Could I give you my heart? I'm getting older. I believe I'm getting more feeble than I should be at my age. But we've already won. Amen. And I pray that God will help these experiences and preach better. I may can't do what I used to do. And it may be hearsay later on, you know, preacher gets old, he needs to step aside. And maybe that's true. But I'm going to preach till I die. Amen. Somewhere or another. I've come too far. You know why? We won. Amen. Folks, we won. Don't let this world deject bring you in a state of despair. If you're born again, you've already won. Not based on who you are and where you came from, that has not one thing to do with it. You may come from a palace on a mountainside, hundreds of thousands of acres somewhere or another, or a little shack by the railroad. It don't make no difference with God. If you're saved, you won. You have won. If you're not saved this morning, these people here who support this church, these people who've been this week, want to know God's will about service, want to know God's will about worshiping, commitment, and giving, and witnessing. We're here for you. If you're not here today, I beg of you, trust Jesus as your Savior. Please understand, without Him, we are nothing. With Him, we're everything that God would have us be, at least in the new DNA, if there's such a thing in God's creation, as far as the new body is concerned, and the new creation is concerned. We are new creatures in Christ, and God has given us that ability to exercise the gift He gives us for His glory. And the only thing that matters is how we give Him that gift back, to give us the power. Did you know probably that most people come from where I came from? We was talking to some people this past week up north, and we was talking about the difference in the language. And they said, when we come down here, man, we can't hardly understand anybody. I said, well, you don't let us go north. I've experienced that. But you know, all of that God shows us, hey, son, you ever get to a place you can do it, forget it. I don't need you, but you need me. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the month of February, for every teacher who taught God's plan for our lives. God, thank you for the experiences we've had as Christians. It's helped us to get to the place. Lord, I think everybody in here is willing to serve God. I think everybody in here right now who's saved are willing to be used of God. But we'd have to be honest, Lord. Many are willing but never ready because they never go so far. They're defeated along the way, not realizing that defeat could be used for blessing later if they go from faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. My Father, please help me to be ready as much so as ever before as my ministry of 50 years. Help me understand what Paul said now after 26 years later from the day of Damascus, road to Damascus, that he was saved. Now I'm ready. Help me understand that. And I believe with all my heart, as even Paul went to the chopping block, as tradition says he did, have his head removed from his body, he was saying, we won. Isn't that wonderful? The world would say, boy, why did it just change? All he had to do was just change his message. Oh, he had just lit up a little bit. He didn't have to be so dogmatic about what he believed, and he could have lived. And yet Paul laid his head, no doubt, under the guillotine or the place where the axe came, ever what they used to bring about the capital punishment to him. And he was saying, now I'm ready. To preach the gospel of Christ. And this is where God wants to end his fine. We've already won. Help someone who's at the threshold right now, Lord, of defeat to understand in Christ we've won. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.